Chapter 1 Fernlight looked around the office space. Bramble was flitting from the corner of the desk to the bookshelf and back. Opening a business was risky. Doing it as the first Sprite private detective added a layer of uncertainty that human businesses didn't have. Partnering with a fairy would at least make it interesting. Bramble settled for a moment on one of the client chairs. When will our first customer come in? He was currently in his natural state, about 3 feet tall with visible wings. When he'd first approached Fernlight, she'd been reluctant to take on a fairy. They were short-lived and had short attention spans. But he'd convinced her that their goals were the same: to make a place in the human world. Bramble's clan had no power in the fairy world, and he was determined to change that. Client, she said. They're called clients, and I don't know. We did what Dion said, posted on social media, and made a website. But that doesn't mean people will knock on our door on day one, especially since it's almost closing time. His eyes lost focus for a moment, and the glamour slid into place. Now the wings were gone, and he looked to be closer to 5 feet tall. Now I'm dressed for business. And it's not my fault we had to wait for the furniture? No, she'd been the one to order the desks and chairs. I know. We need to make something happen, he said. I don't have the time for us to sit around waiting. I need to make my name now. Fernlight sighed. You've been reading those inspirational posts on Facebook again. Twitter. I think that's more fun, he said. She couldn't argue his point. Sprites were long-lived beings. People. She must remember that they were now considered people because it made the humans more comfortable. So she was patient. But perhaps the business needed a boost. Perhaps their agency needed to be more like a fairy than a sprite right now. What about doing some networking? She asked. See if there are any business groups we could join? He hopped the desk to sit in his chair. Bramble's desk was nearer the east wall and Fernlight's desk near the west. It looked open, but they had a privacy spell that could separate the two areas when needed. The desk was metal and glass, the chairs plastic, the floor terracotta tile. No wood was wasted on furniture. You look nice, Bramble said as he typed. Another annoying trait. He didn't always answer her question if he had something to say. Dion, Quinn Larson's apprentice and one of the six beings who brought about the prophecy, had taken up the challenge of helping real folk blend better with humans. She'd outright ordered Fernlight to get some business suits and work clothes. Sprites were more likely to spend their time in loose clothes when they weren't naked in the forest. Fernlight smoothed the sides of the dress she wore. It was moss green and matched her eyes. She would put on the jacket when they had a client to increase the business person effect. The flat shoes were less uncomfortable each time she put them on. Barefoot was another no-no. At over 6 feet tall, she wouldn't need the added stature of heels, thank the spirits. Why would that work? Bramble asked. He clicked the mouse and kept searching. Dion had explained this as well. Fernlight was getting used to repeating information to Bramble enough times that he remembered. It wasn't everything, and it was irritating, because if he heard something that interested him, he never forgot it. People will know us, and then when they have a problem or a friend has one, they'll come to our agency. We could go for afternoon coffee with this mastermind group, Bramble said, turning the computer so she could read the screen. It says they are a knitting group, she pointed to the heading on the page. Does that mean they won't need something investigated? Bramble sat with his fingers poised over the keyboard. What should I look for? Do you think there's a group called People Who Need Private Investigators? Fernlight shook her head and moved to her own desk. The effort it took to answer Bramble's questions was much higher than the effort to do the research herself, even with her lack of skills. Business people like us might be better. Why? Good question. This morning she'd felt optimistic, happy to start the business, looking forward to helping people find lost relatives or catch someone doing wrong. But the idea of having a business was very different from actually running one. Despite her earlier words, she had held a tiny hope that someone would just walk in the door as soon as the sign was unveiled. The Magic Search agency didn't need much clarification. "I don't know," she said in answer to Bramble's questions. "What do you think?" Bramble sat back in his chair. "I think we should try to meet as many people as we can. We don't know who will need our help, and it will be fun." The last words trailed off. Bramble, like most fairies, was afraid of humans. He'd sworn that it wouldn't get in the way, that he was going to be the first fairy who could handle humans. But there was still some trepidation in his voice. "Hello?" The front door opened and a young human woman stepped into the office. "Are you open?" Bramble froze despite his efforts to overcome his fear. So Fernlight stood and reached out her hand to shake with this first client. "Yes, this is our first day. I'm Fernlight." She gestured to Bramble and introduced him. The woman shook Fernlight's hand and waved at Bramble. "I'm Bella," she said. "I run the cafe next door. Vegan Victuals?" Every sentence was a question. "How can we help you?" Fernlight said. "Oh, no, I'm not here to hire you. I'm offering you help. We have a small business community group, and we all try to help out." Bella smiled and then pointed at Fernlight's arm. "I love your tattoos, by the way." Running her finger along her skin, Fernlight said, "That's my skin, not a tattoo." Unlike Bella, who had very pale skin that contrasted with her bright red hair, Fernlight had white hair that grew in short spikes and skin the color of arbutus bark with faint grain lines. Bella blushed. "I'm so very sorry. I've never met a sprite before." Fernlight pointed to the client chairs. "No need to apologize. Tell us about this community group." As she turned to follow Bella, Fernlight noticed a man standing outside the office, staring into the window. He looked angry, and she hoped he was simply waiting for a friend and not the first of a group of protesters. Some humans still wouldn't accept that magic was normal. The man was standing outside, just like a human to be weird. Bramble turned away from his surveillance of the possible attacker and glanced at Fernlight. It was too hard to keep his thoughts on the human when his partner was sitting there with another one. He tried not to be afraid. He remembered what Fernlight said, that the humans were not going to hurt him. It did help a bit, but it was still hard to keep his eyes on both threats. "When is the next meeting?" he heard Fernlight ask the female. Were they going to a meeting with lots of humans? How was he going to keep them safe? He expected to have time to prepare for that. His heart fluttered, and the room began to spin. Bramble placed his hands on the desk to stop the room spinning. If he couldn't manage one human nearby and one outside, Fernlight wouldn't let him be her partner. If that happened, his family would fade into the shadows of fairy life. His only chance to improve his standing with the other fairy tribes was to be the first to successfully work with humans face to face. To even help them. Dionne had known what would happen. She worked with lots of fairies, so she knew how hard it was not to be afraid. Bramble closed his eyes and imagined how life would be for his grandchildren. It would use up his whole life to make them important. This was for the future. The happy image of a large tribe of bramble fairies slowed his heart and steadied the room. When he felt safe, he opened his eyes and let go of the desk. His heart sped up again. The man was opening the door. Bramble looked to where Fernlight was still talking to the female human. She gave him the look, that stare, the one that meant, "This is your chance to prove your worth." Or maybe just meant say hello and ask the man to wait. Bramble poured a little more energy into the glamour, making himself an inch taller, then stood up and walked to the man. "Welcome to the Magic Search Agency," Bramble said. He was proud that his voice didn't shake, but decided it might be better if it wasn't so squeaky.
"What can we do to help you?"
The baritone voice rumbled pleasantly in his chest. The human took a step back. That was a surprise. Maybe he didn't like deep voices. "I am Agent Bramble." This time it was a higher voice, but it gave the man twitches around his mouth. "Do you need something investigated?" Now the human showed his teeth. Bramble stood two steps back. The man was getting ready to eat him. The man closed his lips. Perhaps he wasn't going to eat them yet. "I am Mamoru Yamana," he said. "I want to engage your services." Their first customer! Bramble felt his wings start to push through the glamour in his excitement. "Come to my desk. I will listen to your request, and then my partner will join us." The man looked at Fernlight and the woman, then back at the desk Bramble pointed to.
"This is confidential," he said.
"Yes. Come and tell me what you need," Bramble said, pointing again to his client seat. The man shook his head.
"I need privacy. I will return when you have no other clients."
"No!" Bramble wanted their first client to be his. It didn't matter that it was a human. He wasn't scared anymore. He was excited. And Fernlight would know how valuable a partner he was. "The other human will not hear us," Bramble said. Now his voice was too high, the man winced. He knew humans could only hear some voices, and fairies could hear and speak outside those ranges. He tried to calm himself. He looked around to see what the man saw. Oh no, he'd forgotten to put up the privacy spell. "Look," he said, waving the spell into action. The man raised an eyebrow as a wall of tree trunks appeared between the desks. Fernlight had chosen the appearance and refused to make it a wall of brambles when he made the suggestion. "Come, sit, and you will see that we cannot hear them." Bramble wanted to pull the man to the chair, but he wasn't quite ready to touch a human. The man stepped forward. Not to the chair, but to the wall. He reached out to press his fingers against it, then pulled them back as they sank into the trees.
"Impressive."
Bramble grinned and wanted to flit around the room, but he knew that would not be the way a serious agent would behave. "Sit, let's get your information on the file." The client pulled the chair out and sat. "Success!" While the human settled, Bramble opened a notebook and selected a pen from the 20 he had in his drawer. Each one was a different color, and he thought it would look good to have files in different colors too.
"Before we start a file," the human said, "I want to know more about your experience with investigations."
Bramble almost said, "We don't have any," when he remembered that he was not supposed to say things like that. He was supposed to say things to make their customer, no client, comfortable. They had talked about this because Fernlight said humans would want to be sure they were hiring someone who would help. "We use our special skills to find answers," he said. It didn't sound right to him. Was he supposed to be enthusiastic about it? It wasn't a lie, not that he had a problem with lying to humans, or anyone for that matter.
"How have you used those skills?" Bramble's mind froze up. He'd said the words they'd agreed, and it hadn't worked. What should he say next? Maybe they should have made up a case so they could show how great they were at investigation. Bramble could feel his glamour slipping as he struggled to think of an answer. Then the human woman walked past, following Fernlight to the door. It felt like a lifetime, but as soon as they were alone, Fernlight cancelled the privacy spell and sat beside the human. Fernlight joined Bramble and the human. As she did, Bramble's body stopped trembling and relaxed into his usual fidgety mode. At least this time he hadn't gone catatonic. "I'm Fernlight," she said. "This is Bramble. We are the lead investigators. How can we help you?" The man smoothed his suit and then placed his hands in his lap. His posture straightened even more. Fernlight had never seen a human sit so straight. "I am Mr. Yamana, Mamoru Yamana," he said. "I believe I may need to hire you to solve a particular problem." He didn't elaborate, and Fernlight understood Bramble's reaction. They could follow their prepared scripts all day, but if the client wouldn't share, nothing would happen. "If you can tell us a little?" She made it a question, because she'd noticed that humans seem compelled to answer questions. "I require you to keep this confidential." Fernlight gave Bramble a glance. He returned it with a glare as if there were no chance of him blabbing secrets. "You have our word," she replied. "But if that is not enough, you can sign a client agreement, and then you'll have our liability." The online sales classes that Bramble had found suggested this as a closing tactic. Get the client committed early. Mr. Yamana tugged at his sleeves before speaking. "I would prefer we sign an agreement. It is not so much for me, but this case is too important to leave anything to chance." Fernlight nodded to Bramble, and he printed the form. This Mr. Yamana was taking a chance on them. It would not do to be offended by his professionalism. When Bramble placed the form and a pen on the desk, Fernlight held out her hand to him. "The spell?" Bramble started and then blushed. "Sorry, I forgot." He opened a locked cupboard and pulled out a twist of parchment. "Mr. Yamana," Fernlight said, "signing the form is one level of protection for you. I am sure the humans would find that sufficient." He nodded, but the wry smile told a different story. "With real folk," she continued, "we can improve on that. This spell will make it impossible for us to discuss the case without your permission, or by applying the oath to that person." "Interesting," he said, tapping the pen against the paper. "What is required?" The first hurdle over, most humans were still suspicious of magic, Fernlight opened the parchment. "We say these words and burn the paper and its contents. You will add a permission word at the end." "Very well," he said. "The form goes first," Bramble said. "It anchors the spell." Fernlight placed her hand on the desk, their signal that Bramble should stop speaking. Without it, the fairy would likely go off on a tangent and tell 4 or 5 stories about similar spells. Mr. Yamana signed and passed the form to Fernlight. When all signatures were completed, she placed the contents of the parchment in an ashtray and gave their very first client the script of the spell. "Do you have a permission word? It should be something you wouldn't accidentally say, but not so weird that people would know something is up. And you could say it when strangers are around. And they wouldn't know you were doing anything. And it should be simple." His nerves were making him ramble despite her signals. Fernlight touched Bramble's hand. The fairy snapped his mouth shut. Mr. Yamana's mouth twitched with a suppressed smile. I will use the word persimmon. It is in season, so it will not be odd to speak the word. I do not care for them, so I'm unlikely to say it by accident. When Mr. Yamana nodded that he was ready, Fernlight lit the small heap of herbs and twigs in the ashtray, and all three recited the spell. As soon as Mr. Yamana spoke his permission word, Fernlight took the parchment from him and tossed it onto the embers of the ingredients. A sudden flame consumed the parchment and remaining ashes in a fire so hot it left nothing but a curl of smoke. I feel different, Mr. Yamana said. As though I would know where you are even without seeing you. Bramble picked up the ashtray and moved it to the side of the desk. Yes, that is part of the spell. It will fade a little as time passes, and we will undo it when the case is solved, and you won't need to worry. We're just connected now, and there's no... This time Fernlight stopped Bramble with a look. She turned back to their client. Mr. Yamana? Mamoru, please. We are connected, so it seems impolite to use such formalities. She nodded. If you will tell us about the case and why you chose us? He unbuttoned his jacket and relaxed. The movement turned him from a stiff, cold human to a friendlier, more open one. Fernlight tucked that knowledge away for use in the future. Human body language was still a gray area for most real folk. I think it will be apparent why I came to you when I explain the case. But first you must know that I work for the Human Occult Protection Department in the Investigation Bureau. Fernlight glared at Bramble to keep him from responding. Hop D, as everyone seemed to call it, was supposed to protect both humans and real folk, but mostly it seemed to side with humans. I would think you have all the investigative powers you need. Mamoru shifted in his chair. It is not the power, but a difference of opinion on, shall we call it perspective? A case I was working on proved difficult, and despite the potential for severe damage to both humans and magical folk, I have been told to end my investigation. So you came to us to keep your work going. Fernlight understood the rationale, but Hop D would not let them simply look into a case they had deemed closed. Not exactly, Mamoru said. I think I was close. I want you to find someone. If I can prove... Well, there are rumors of a drug that allows humans to do magic. If you can find proof and one person who is using the drug, I can open the investigation again. And then Hop D can blame us? Bramble rose from his chair in indignation, his glamour slipping away.